What's up, Lady Ballers?
Welcome back. We're Soccer Props.
And it's game time.
Thanks for hopping on.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Do you have any nicknames, by the way?
Yeah, people call me Betty or Boats.
Boat? What's Boats for?
I have really big feet.
Me too. Let's compare.
We should call Shannon and Alana Boats as well. They have size 10s.
Yeah, I wear 10 to 11s.
Oh my goodness.
My mom wears an 11 and a half. So I think she just does it because she is showing off her big feet.
I'll tell you though, you guys, I'm a size 8.5, and that's like the most average size. And it's the it's the size that always sells out the most.
Mm.
So I feel like you guys are at an advantage there.
Always available.
Yeah.
That's awesome though. All right. Boats. I like that. So let's start with just like your college recruiting process. Can you tell us a little bit about that journey?
Yeah. So I went to a really small school in Michigan, Spring Arbor, and it was kind of the only school I really looked at. I got injured my sophomore year of high school, which is kind of when a lot of the recruiting starts. So a lot of coaches just were interested because I wasn't playing. And my sister had actually gone to Spring Arbor before me. So I just was there lots of weekends with her, staying with her around the team a lot. And so I kind of knew that environment, and it kind of just met all the criteria I wanted in a college. And so it's really that simple. That was the only college I looked at, and the only one I pursued. So I ended up going there.
That is incredible. Like I don't think I've heard anyone do that. And I'm so happy that you enjoyed your experience. What was the criteria that you were looking for?
Yeah. I wanted a good soccer program, and they're the best in the conference. So that was met. I wanted a place that was close enough to home where I could go home on a weekend, but far enough away where I wasn't tied to my parents still. So it was like 2 hours away. So I felt like that was met. And then I just wanted to go to like a faith-based campus. And so that was met as well. And I wasn't really looking to go. I didn't really care about the size. I didn't need a big school. And it was really small, like only 1,500 students. So yeah.
Did your sister and you play on the same team?
Yeah, we shared 1 year together.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we won nationals that year. So that was like the coolest thing.
That's sick.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you care so much about the level of play?
No. And I think I was like naive to that. I guess I didn't know what I was fully capable of. And so to me, the level felt fine. It felt good. And it wasn't until after my freshman year where I was kind of like, will I still be pushed at this school? Is this still a place that can like help me grow as a soccer player? And I felt like it was, and I think it did the job, even though maybe wasn't the most competitive.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, growing up, there was just a huge, and even now there might still be a huge misconception that NAIA schools are not as good as D1, 2, and 3. And we have a whole program on this actually on our website. So we learned about it. And honestly, when you look at like a graph of like the power rankings amongst all of the divisions, NAIA overlaps with all the divisions. So like you can find really top level teams within that division. And honestly, the biggest difference between NAIA and these other divisions is that like the school, soccer, and social life balance is just different. Like you might have more time to have a social life and to focus on your schoolwork, you know, in that division. And that's why I actually just leads me to my question. Like, how did you think the soccer school social life balance was at that school? Like, did you feel good about it, or did you feel like overwhelmed with soccer specifically?
Yeah, no, you're so right. And I think like soccer did not feel like a job to me. And I've heard a lot of people who have gone to bigger schools say that it just was so time consuming. And for me, it wasn't. I mean, we drove the day of every game. Like, we didn't have to fly. We didn't have to like spend all these weekends away. So it was really easy to balance school and soccer. And then my school was so small, it was so easy to communicate with professors just to stay on top of things. And yeah, it did allow me to have a social life. So I think that was a really big reason why I stayed and why my experience was so good, was because that was all really balanced well.
Sounds a lot healthier than what we went through, you know?
I wish all the divisions had a healthier like balance between everything.
And that's such an advantage of a small school, is to be able to talk to your professor and they know who you are and say, I have a game, and they understand it. And they're not just like, oh, well, like, good luck. Like, try catching up. Like, they're probably better with working to make sure that you're up to date on your academics as well, which is really nice.
Yeah, no, I remember like walking into my chemistry lab and like my professor like asked me how my game went the like night before, and like they're just so great. So that was really helpful.
That's awesome. Wonderful. Did you always know you wanted to play pro, like even while you were at college?
No, it wasn't until my sophomore year where I think I thought it could be a possibility. I played in the summer league team in the UWS in my hometown because they had gotten a team, and that was a bunch of like Big Ten players. So I thought it'd be like a good experience just to kind of gauge where I'm at, because it's really hard to know, you know, if you can compete at a higher level. And so I did well there, and that's kind of when I realized like, oh, like if I want to pursue this, I probably could, or at least try. And so that's when I kind of started to think more seriously about going pro.
What was it like trying to transition out of an NAIA school into the pros? Do you think they supported you as much as, you know, some of those Big Ten schools do in terms of getting their athletes into the draft and everything? Was it a little bit of a different journey for you?
Yeah, I give so much credit to my college coach. Like, he was my biggest fan, biggest supporter, made so many phone calls for me, you know, tried to give me the exposure I needed, because that's what I think I was missing. I did play again in a summer league the following year, just to, you know, out here in Seattle, actually, to just help in any way possible. And so in terms of like the communication, all that, like it was a little more difficult, but my college coach did everything behind the scenes and was like, hey, the Seattle coach wants you to come out to try out. And I was like, wow, was not expecting that, but that's great and awesome. And then, yeah, obviously the transition in terms of soccer was, it was hard. It was so hard. I'll never forget like my first day of training, and I was like, oh my word, they expect you to sprint all the time. Like, what is this? I was like, I hope I'm cut out for this.
It's just nice to show that though you can adapt at any level and at any age, you know, like it's not like, oh, just because you didn't have that experience shoved down your throat as a freshman in college. It's not like you adapted later when you had to adapt to it. So it's kind of nice to know, and it's refreshing to know that the environment can change even as late as when after you've graduated, and you can still step up and adapt and grow even at that age, which is wonderful. Do you have any advice for anyone who's like on the fence between maybe choosing to go to an NAIA school or not?
Well, my mom always told me this, and this is like really good advice that I give to lots of people, is if you got hurt your first day of preseason and couldn't play, would you still want to be there?
I like that.
And that, yeah, and like that was something that was, I could say yes about Spring Arbor. Like, I would still want to be here because, I think again, because I was able to still have a social life and I was able to still have all these college experiences that wasn't just solely focused on soccer. And so that's what I would tell people, you know, soccer is a big part of college, but it's not the only thing. You still want to love where you go. You don't want to hate your life when you're there. And so I think it's hard to think about that sometimes when you're just soccer, soccer, soccer. I want to go pro. I got to do this. But there's so much more to it. And you're young and you want to have a good 4 years of college, you know?
It's true. Like, when I look back at our college experience, just like how much we missed out on, and like, I regret even the moments that I could go and do something. I was too tired and I was like, nope, just not going to go. And I just like regret looking back. I'm like, damn it. I wish I like was a little bit more balanced with that, because it would have just been healthier. And we all, you know, we would have just been having such a more happier experience. But you also, just going back to this, you were the first NAIA player to sign with the NWSL club. Like, that's pretty dang cool. And I'm sure like you opened the door to the possibilities for like other players in the division who maybe never would think that they could, you know, go pro. What's like a piece of advice that you would give a player in that division who wants to play at the next level? Like, what does it take to play at the next level?
Yeah, I've actually had lots of girls from the NAIA reach out to me. And so it's been cool to just like share my experience. And one thing I always reiterate is like, it's really hard to do still, you know, it's not like this is just as easy as going to a bigger school. Like, it's still really, really challenging. And so I always want to reiterate that, because I don't want to give them like a false sense of hope. You know, like, this is still going to be a lot of work. And you're putting yourself at a disadvantage, but it's still possible. And I just encourage people. I think exposure is a really big aspect of it. So I just encourage them to, you know, go and play in summer leagues. Like, just do whatever you can. And, like, don't be afraid to reach out to people and really put yourself out there, because I think that all you need is, like, one opportunity. You can do the rest. You can put in all the work for soccer, but you just need, like, one person to, like, believe in you or give you a chance.
I love that. Yeah, you seem to have a lot of success over your summer league as well. And I feel like that's so important. A lot of people feel like, all right, it's summer, I'll join a, you know, an easy team, I'll train on my own. And then once preseason comes, it's like totally like 0 to 100. So it's really important to like keep up over the summer on your own and finding a good team. So I think that's a huge key as well. What is it like now? Like, what is there an experience that you've had since joining the NWSL that's like stuck out in your head? Like, wow, this is real. Like, I'm doing this.
Well, I remember my rookie year when I was still like fangirling people, and I was like, Beth, you can't do this. Like, you're here now, okay? You gotta be cool. But I'll never forget the first time I stepped on a field with Alex Morgan. I was like, okay, this is it. This is the coolest thing ever. What am I doing? Just because, yeah, like my story is so crazy, and I never in a million years thought I'd be here. So like, just to be alongside people, I remember walking to the locker room, seeing Megan Rapinoe, being like, hi, like just experiences like that. I was like, whoa. Obviously now it's normal, but just as like a young little naive girl walking in, I was like, wow, like, okay, Beth, let's do this, you know? So
Playing amongst all of your, like, those people and, like, everyone's idols, are you confident on the field, or do you feel, like, at any point do you feel, like, a little self-conscious? Because, like, I just feel like there needs to be some sort of stronger mentality for professional athletes. Like, you're there, you're one of them, you're there for a reason. Like, you can play at that level. So are you a little nervous sometimes?
I can be. Honestly, I think my rookie year, I was just so naive to it all. I was just running around, like, doing my thing, like could make all these rookie mistakes, like, didn't really have a care in the world. So I think that played to my advantage and, like, showed why I played so well, because I didn't have nerves, because I was like, no one expects anything of me. I'm just here, you know? And so now it's funny, because, like, as time goes on, sometimes I do feel, like, a little more nervous, and you don't want to, like, upset anybody, you know? You don't want to make mistakes, even though that's reality. So there is, like, a lot of performance pressure, I feel. But I think with each and every game, the more comfortable I get, that goes away.
And it's funny, because you're not the first pro that we've talked to that has said the same thing. Like, they have that moment when they first are on the team, like, I cannot believe I'm surrounded by these people that, you know, I've idolized as players and looked up to and modeled my game after. So as much as you may feel like that was just a you thing, I feel like almost everyone we talk to, when they talk about their first few games, they have that, they're like kind of in awe of who they have found themselves on the field with. But it's awesome to see that. I love that you say that you played almost more freely when you joined, because you almost didn't have those nerves. You weren't overthinking it. And that is a huge, that's like the place I feel like we all strive to kind of get towards, where we're playing truly free and we're not worried about others' expectations of us and everything like that. So when you have moments where you feel like you're putting a lot of pressure on yourself, how do you kind of get back in the zone or like center yourself back to playing freely again?
Yeah, it's so true that like I and men and every player just plays better when we don't think, almost. And so I kind of like let the first 5 minutes of the game just be what they are, and like do not care if I make a mistake, because I'm still settling into the game. And like, you just got to give yourself a lot of grace, almost. Like, one, no one on my team cares that I made a mistake. But I think like they think it's the biggest thing. So just like putting things into perspective, and then like reminding myself, like, I belong here, you know, like I'm going to be fine. I'm not going to have my best game every game, but I am capable. I have this gift and this talent. And so it's just like a lot of like positive self-affirmation and just like telling myself I belong, I think.
I think that's beautiful. And it's so important for everyone to hear, like, you really do belong, like, you're there, and just believing in yourself. And like, it's so awesome. And I also just want to touch on, Alana was saying the word expectations. Like, it's just a nice reminder when we are putting like such extreme expectations on ourselves, it's too much pressure. So just believing in our ability and like just playing because you love it, it's just a nice reminder. Like that's when you play your best game. So just love that. So just gearing towards the NWSL, which love your sweatshirt. What are your goals for playing in the season?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm so bad at goal setting. But our team's really good this year. We have a lot of like firepower. And so I think a goal I had for this season was just to still find my way into the starting 11. You know, just like personal goals like that. I wanted to score more goals than I did my rookie year, you know, be more of a playmaker. I really want our team to hoist a trophy at the end of the year. So whatever capacity that looks like of me contributing, I want to do that. So I'm sometimes vague in my goals, but those are some things that I think I've been focusing on this year.
Sometimes vague goals work for certain players too. Like you don't always have to have it all like mapped out. So I like that. All right, guys, should we get into some rapid fire? What's your favorite pump up song or artist?
I love Post Malone.
I saw Post Malone. That was my last pre-COVID concert. It was Post Malone.
I'm jealous. Yeah, when his last album came out, I'd always make sure I was the first one to show up to the locker room so I could just put his album and then put it on loop. And everybody's like, "Beth, really?" I'm like, "No, this is good."
Music, how you get pumped up for games?
What
is music a big part of getting pumped up for games for you, or not really?
It can be, yeah. I think I feed off the team, so when there's a good song playing, the team's up and dancing, you know, getting in the vibe, and I'm like, okay, yeah, like I feed into that. Yeah.
Do you have a singular favorite moment as a professional so far, one that sticks out in your mind?
Obviously my first goal, I'll never forget that moment. Coolest thing ever. But then when we just played at Lumen Field, which is where the Sounders play, did a doubleheader with them. That was crazy. Like set the record for NWSL attendance. Like such a cool atmosphere. Like we'll never forget that.
You think that the game should always be like that? Because when I saw that set the record and then that it was a doubleheader, I wish every NWSL team did that. Like I would love to sit back-to-back games like that.
Yeah, no, we're all like, can we do this all the time? Like, this is amazing. It clearly shows out well. Like, this needs to be a consistent thing for sure.
I love the concept of that. And that it just, all the highlights of how packed it was and the energy looked amazing. Oh my goodness.
Can you tell us about your first goal? I'm going to YouTube it after, but.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it's a blur, but I remember Bev Giannis just shielding Allie Krieger, so the ball fell right to my feet. And it's so funny because I'm not a finesse shooter. I'm like, I just hit it as hard as I can, but that's what I was in college. And a lot of my shots were on frame. And so my first goal is so funny because it was literally like the most finesse shot you could get, like curler around like Ashlyn Harris's arms. And I remember receiving a few texts after the game from like my like former teammates from college and my former college coach, and they were like, "Where did that come from? Like, where was that the last 4 years?" And I'm like, "I have no idea. I have no idea." So I'll never forget that. And yeah, that was crazy.
I love like the moment of brilliance that happens without you even thinking. You know, like it's like you. I love when that happens. It's like such a nice surprise, and you were probably like the happiest person alive that day, especially just like scoring on Ashlyn Harris and like just looks so great. What's your favorite ice cream flavor?
Totally different question.
It's very different.
Important.
I love coffee flavored ice cream.
Ooh, good choice. Underrated choice. I feel like people don't say that very often.
My favorite has to be in a waffle cone too.
Waffle cone. I could do that with like the Heath Bar Crunch pieces on top.
Wow, fire.
do you have any superstitions, like soccer superstitions?
Unpack them right now.
So I've never worn soft grounds before until this year because I ran out of shoes. Because my new ones hadn't come in yet. So I had to like throw on these soft grounds for a game. And that's like when I scored my first goal of the season. So I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I should always wear soft brands now.
The one game I didn't, we lost. I didn't Ooh. Score.
Oh.
We were on
it's
like a
5-year-old.
And so I'm like, okay, I have to wear my soft grounds every game. And so every time I've worn my soft grounds, we've either tied or won. So that's superstition's set. And then it's kind of weird. I've only scored in our white jersey. I've never scored in our blue jersey. So I kind of asked our equipment manager, hey, can we wear our whites the rest of the year? Yeah. I'm superstitious about that. I didn't think I was superstitious until this year when all these weird things started falling into place. I'm like, this is suspicious. And then, like, you know, I have to, like, put my socks and shoes on a certain way. Like, I just have a special whole thing I do. So
you have a lot of superstitions.
Way more than I'd like to, yes.
But do you rotate your jersey? Like, it's not home and away. It's just whatever, you guys had to wear?
It's usually home and away, but, like, also the league sets it. So sometimes it's, like, sometimes we're home and we wear our white, which is our away kit. So I don't know how it works. But
you might have to have those blue jerseys disappear, hmm?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk after the podcast.
Mysteriously get donated to us or something. Do you have a favorite cheat meal?
Oh my word, I love McDonald's fries.
They are superior.
Yeah. Like, after every game, I get McDonald's fries and a McFlurry because I'm like, this is the best thing ever.
Yeah, that's so, good stuff.
Not really a meal, but.
How is, like, are you, do you find that your nutrition has changed from college to playing pro? Or are you, like, do you see that it matters to you, like, what you fuel your body with before games and everything more now?
Yes and no. I'm like a pescatarian now. That's the diet I use. I've just like kind of been like trying different things here and there. This one's stuck for over a year now. And it's funny. Here's another superstition I had my rookie year. I went like paleo, which is a weird diet that my teammate was like, you should try it because I do it. I was like, okay, cool. And when I was on that diet, I played like the worst 2 months of soccer of my rookie year. Like, it was real so bad. And then like the second I stopped, I played fine. And so I just think, yeah, like my body needs like sugar. It needs like sometimes unhealthy food. So like, I've just been like learning how to work with it. But in general, like, I feel like I am really cautious about what I put in my body, but it helps because I like love vegetables. I love healthy things. So
it may not be a superstition that paleo didn't work. It might just be paleo's fault.
Yeah, yeah. True.
What's your favorite team to watch?
I'm a Tottenham Hotspurs fan.
Nice. Have you seen them play?
Not in person, no.
We went in college. Me and Carly went to their stadium, and it was so cool.
Like, it was really cool.
The energy was amazing in there.
It's just like so different in Europe.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, the fandom, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was cool. Wow. Well, we got to put that on your bucket list.
I know. I really do. I went to a, like, Leicester versus West Ham game because I was with the U23s once. That was, like, before I was even watching it, so I didn't really fully comprehend, like, what I was experiencing. And I'm like, shoot. Yes.
What about, do you have a favorite teammate to train with? Like, is there someone that just, like, you love, like, going to practice with?
Because I think all of them is a cop-out answer. I can pick someone. I love Sofia Huerta. She's my homie.
She's awesome.
She's so fun.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Who's the teammate that makes you laugh the most?
Wow. It's so weird because I haven't seen them in like 3 weeks. So I'm like, or I haven't seen them in a week. Who makes me laugh the most?
No class clown on the team that like stands
out. Are you the class clown?
Maybe that's why.
Maybe that's why you can't
put it. I don't know.
I hope not. Oh my goodness. Maybe. Everyone makes me laugh. Mm-hmm. Our whole team's like klutzy, clumsy, funny. Like, yeah. Everyone has a different, like, every day it's someone new.
That's a good one.
We miss that so much, just like being a part of a team and like laughing your ass off, like till you cry.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Who is the hardest player you've ever played against?
Crystal Dunn. Not fun going 1v1 against her.
Yeah.
Never wanted to.
Yeah.
She's so, it's amazing how she's like small, like she's short, she's small. I played with her when we were younger and people used to like look at her and be like, oh, she's small, like whatever. And then she would just run circles around everyone.
Dang. Like, and then she can play like every position. I was like, okay, that's
fine. So who's your biggest role model? Could be soccer or just outside of soccer as well.
Biggest role model. This is gonna be so sappy. Honestly, my sister is. We used to like hate each other growing up, and now we're like the bestest of friends. Which I feel like is can be common. But you know, just how she's like been like my biggest fan, but she also like just how she carries herself and how she lives her life. She's actually a college coach now, and so I just love watching her do what she loves and like wanna, I just look up to her a lot.
Where does she coach?
She coaches at an NAI school in the middle of Iowa. It's called Northwestern College. But it's her first gig. So she's there. It's her first season this year. So.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah.
Do you have any side passions that aren't soccer?
Besides TikTok?
Are you a big TikToker?
I try to be. I'm actually
in the
process of making a Bethany Balser.
Okay, cool.
They're just such a fun thing to do in your free time. I feel like, and I'm working on one right now that me and my teammates made like over, we had like a 2-week road trip and we made one. So I'm like in the process of like editing and I feel like I'm like a freaking videographer or something because I have to like make sure everything lines up. I'm like, what is this? I can see our people's full-time job.
It's so underrated how long it takes. Even when I watch when people have like words pop up, like as they're being said, the amount of time it takes to time that is insane.
I've once spent 4 hours editing like a 8-second video. Like the kids nowadays, like you, Bethany, you're young. Like I feel like you guys get it faster. Like you understand the editing. Like everyone knows how to edit now. It's crazy.
Look at your TikToks right now, and you got some moves.
I can't wait to look at them. Okay, how do you define success?
Ooh. How would I define success? I feel like success is when you feel most fulfilled as a human being. Whether you reach your goals or not and like have worldly success, I feel like when you can just like sit back in a moment and like be so content with where you're at, with what you're doing, like you should feel like successful and like you have success in life. You know, you have good relationships, you're surrounded by good people, you're hopefully doing something you love. When those things line up, I feel like it's safe to say like you have a successful life and
I love that. That was really good.
That was like the best answer we've gotten, I think.
Yeah. Snaps. That was good.
Yep. Snaps for Beth.
If you didn't play soccer, what career would you wanna do? It'd be real or fake. Like it could be something that you would never do, but like something that would just be like your dream.
Okay.
Even though you're living the dream.
True. I was going to go to grad school if I didn't like make the team, and I was going to be a PA.
Cool.
But like if I could go one step, like if it didn't take all those years, I'd love to be like an actual doctor and like be like a surgeon.
Ooh, you don't mind like that stuff? Like that doesn't gross you out?
No, it intrigues me.
We need people like you.
Yeah, I like go to get a shot and I pass out.
Yeah. That's incredible though. Like you must be really smart.
That's what everyone says. And I sometimes like don't feel it, but
Were academics important to you growing up, or were you just like naturally very good at them?
No, was not naturally good at them. I would study for hours on end and still not do well. And I remember my senior year, I was like, I don't know why I was focused on school so much my senior year, but my like social life took a hard backseat because I was like, school, school, school. So yeah, I worked really hard at it.
All right, last question. What is your biggest soccer girl prob?
So it's fun. I thought of something yesterday and I was like, I should tell them about it, but now I forgot what it was. My biggest soccer girl prob. Honestly, and I'll never forget this because it was in, I feel like, one of your first videos that went viral. I hate like trying to find a pair of jeans that fit.
Yeah.
It never works.
Never works worse than that.
Yep. Like the, can't get it over the thigh, and then it, if you do, it's massive in the waist, and you're just like, okay.
Yep.
This it's is a disaster. Literally
the worst. Someday, hopefully that changes. Until yeah. then, they're sweatpants.
We sell jean buttons, and they are literally, do we have any we can send her?
Yeah.
They are the best. Have you ever heard of them, Bethany?
Those, I think I saw them on TikTok. Are those things?
Yeah.
The waist?
Yep, they work.
Game
they
changer. Work.
Wow.
Made for soccer girls.
We'll send you some.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for coming on. This is awesome. And I feel like so many of our listeners are going to love hearing your story. And every journey is like different and like unique. And I feel like yours really is. And I think you're going to give so many players who are thinking about playing professional, they're going to feel like it's possible because of you. So we really appreciate you. And we're so excited to watch your career, and we know you're going to crush it, and we're going to watch all your TikToks because so far they're looking pretty funny.
Keep scoring goals with your big feet.
Yeah, the finesse.
Thank you guys.
All right, thanks so much, Boats.
Thank you.
Big
thank
feet you. Out.
Alrighty, listen up. If you didn't know that we have swag, where have you been? Living under a rock? You can get 25% off our t-shirts, long sleeves, sweatpants, keeper gloves, the whole list goes on, if you use code PODCAST25 at checkout on soccergirlprobs.com today. That's soccergirlprobs.com. And use the code PODCAST25, I repeat, PODCAST25 at checkout.